Today is October 8th, and we will be concluding our learning of the mitzvahs directly related to Pesach. With the last mitzvah 17, which is that an uncircumcised person should not eat from the Korban Pesach. Before I do so, being that this is the Tamei HaMitzvah Shir, we're going back to the reasons behind this, since we haven't been to these reasons for a while. I do want to dedicate this shir in memory of Rabbi Avadya Yosef, who passed away yesterday. Tremendous goyin and tzaddik that Kol Yisrael will miss dearly. I'm told that there were some estimates that reached 1 million people at the Leviathan. Some more conservative estimates said 850,000. But in any case, it's certainly by far. I mean, I was at a funeral of the Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, so 300,000 people.
Wow.
Enormous. At least, that was the estimate, 300,000 people. It said by Rabbi Yasser Zafai, which was in the middle of the night, 500,000 people. You're talking about 850,000 people. I don't care what time of day it is. It's a pretty magnificent number. And it speaks volumes about this man and how many different parts of Klal Yisrael he has affected. And even though not everybody agreed with every last thing that he had to say, as with many Gedolim, it is that way, but he certainly was very well respected and highly regarded by many, many, many hundreds of thousands of people. So it's a loss, a great loss for Klal Yisrael, and hopefully his Torah will live on, and certainly we know that, we're confident that it will, but hopefully we should be able to take something from his life, emulate his ways, and certainly Torah was one of them, and having Gishmak for Torah, Hasmada, so let's hope we can do that and improve ourselves in his. It would be a merit for him and for all of Klal Yisrael.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, we're just getting back into a new, sort of a new season, and getting into the Tamei HaMitzvahs, getting back to Tamei HaMitzvahs, we took a hiatus for the Hilchos Tshuva Shir, and then we had Yom Tov. And I just wanted to share with you, before we begin the actual Tamei HaMitzvahs and what we have here on our source sheet, a few thoughts that were passing through my mind as Yom Tov was ending. There's a famous medrash about Shmini Atzeres that says the Rebbe Shalom says to Klal Yisrael, we had a Yom Tov you were bringing karbonis for all the nations of the world as well. There was an interaction, a higher level of interaction with the Rebbe Shalom, not just on the part of Klal Yisrael but all the nations of the world. And Shmini Atzeres is a day for just us and the Ribbono Shel, as the Medrash says, as a child of the king is going away, going back to their usual life, after having celebrated together, spend time with their father, the king, the child goes back, and Ribbono Shel says, Ikvu imi yom echad, wait one more day. Let's celebrate just you and me together. Kosho l'ipridaschem, you're separating with me is very, very difficult. Now, if you keep that in mind, so Rav Gamliel Rabinovich is a great mekubal in Yerushalayim, a big talmid chacham. I saw in a sefer, yes, if a child, chas v'shalom, is in prison, and he gets a week off, they give him, he's able to go home, and spend a week at home. So the day before he goes back to his prison, what do you think he feels like? Is he rejoicing? Is he making a big party? Or he's crying? He's crying, he's going back to his miserable existence in Golis, miserable existence in the prison, and so on. He's totally restricted. He can't live a free life. He's a whole day long. He's subservient to others, and he's wasting every minute of his life. Certainly, he's gonna cry all day long. So the question is, why Shmini Atzeres? We have this time to celebrate with the Rebbeinu Shlomo, but now we're going back to our Golus. We're going back to living in exile. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We can't serve the Rebbeinu Shlomo properly. Everybody has their tirdus, their difficulties and challenges, and things are not the way they should be for everybody in Klal Yisrael. What are we rejoicing about? So he says a beautiful concept based on something that Baal Shem Tov said, that really the Rebbeinu Shalom is accessible every day of the year. Even though it says, Dir Shu Hashem B'Yimotzei, and if he went through the Yom Tovim, Hashem was more accessible during that time. The real truth is, that's only vis-a-vis our own exertion and our own hard work. But the truth is, Hashem is accessible to everybody in an unlimited way every single day of the year. As an example, if you study the life of the Big Tzaddik, you'll notice that on the day of the year that's his weakest day, maybe on your best day of the year you reach that level of, right? Maybe, right? Of Dveikus, of connection to the Rebbeinu Shlomo. So on your best, maybe on Yom Kippur, on your best, you know, by Ne'ilah, maybe you reach his level on his regular thing. So really, for you, for what to you is a Yom Tov is his regular day, right? What to you is Simchas Torah, you rejoice in the Torah. Let's say, like the Vilna Gaon said, the highest level he reached the whole year was on Simchas Torah. What to us is the highest level of the year, maybe to a tzaddik, that's a simple day. So really, it's all contingent on our personal exertion. But what do we use? We could really, that's really his message, is we could take with us the Yom Tov. It's not really like a son saying goodbye and going back to prison, because theoretically the son can actually take with him, he can take his father with him, and he can rejoice with his father as if he's a free man in our situation. Now how's that? How do we do that? How could we ensure that we're not saying goodbye to a Yom Tov, that we're not saying, okay, we're losing that high level? That's by way of the Torah. And that's specifically why on Shmini Atzeres, of all days of the year, we actually have Simchas Torah. And that's why we rejoice. We're rejoicing because we're saying if we take the Torah and we exert, we work properly, we toil on Torah, then we can have Yom Tov every day of the year. We're not saying goodbye to the Yom Tov. We're not saying goodbye, so to speak, to Hashem. To the contrary, we're trying to emphasize for ourselves that with the Torah we can actually bring about a tremendous arousal. We can have Yom Tov every day of the year. In fact, that's what the Svarim say, what the word Mar Cheshvan means. Merachesh means to how would you translate the word Merachesh, Neil? What's a good English word?
Merachesh means to move.
There's an English word for it. Not fluttering. They're still vibrating. They're still, you know, post. You go on a treadmill for like an hour, and you're still like, you know, halfway running. Or the old trick that we were kids, we used to do is stand in the doorway, you know, and press your arms against the. You ever do this? No. You can do this even if you're not a kid. You go in the doorway and you press your arms up against the doorpost for like 60 seconds, and then when you leave go, you feel like your arms are still lifting up. You know, that same motion that's there, it's not quite inertia, but it's, you know, it's that same sort of, so we're still rumbling, we're still mumbling, we're still, what's the word I'm looking for? Where is it? Tip of my tongue.
Vibrating.
Perforated?
From the Yom Tov. In other words, we're still whatever we're doing. In fact, there's a famous piece from Rav Schwab. There's a famous piece from Rav Schwab. Rav Schwab says, there's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim that says, "My yafu pa'mayach b'na'olim." How beautiful are your feet in your shoes? Strange kind of statement. Chazal say it means to say, Klal Yisrael, when they went to the Eile Regal, when we went up to do the pilgrimage for Yom Tov, for Asher Schwab, went up to Yerushalayim, he went up to Har Habayis, you're not allowed to wear your shoes. Why would that be referring to going to the Eile Regal? So he says, no, that's precisely what Shlomo HaMelech is saying. How beautiful it was when we were returning from being Eile Regal. We had the Yom Tov. We put our feet back in our shoes and we're going home, we're taking the Yom Tov with us. That's what's so beautiful. That Klal Yisrael knows the secret that we're able to take with us, we're able to take the Rebbeinu Shem with us. So I'm just saying, the Hesiris, the arousal that we had during the Yom Narayim, with all the Tshuva Shurim, with all the closeness to the Rebbeinu Shem, every person in their own way, is something really we could be taking with us by way of what? Of the Torah. So if we take that, take the Torah with us and we apply ourselves the way we should properly, we're really not crying that the Rebbeinu Shem is going away, but actually we're taking the Rebbeinu Shem with us. We're actually rejoicing and saying, we're going to keep the Torah with us, we're going to have Yom Tov actually every single day. It's a beautiful idea that was passing through my mind towards the end of Yom Tov, when I was starting to feel a little bit sad that the Yom Tov was ending. But then I came to this recognition that, to the contrary, we just have to put ourselves in the right frame of mind and we have to work. But we could really have those beautiful special things of Yom Tov, we can really have a whole year round.
Is that why we have the Ketores? I forgot to maybe in that theory. The Ketores, when Shabbos finishes, the Ketores, not the spices, when Shabbos finishes, to we're going into the week and we're sad.
The summer. That's for the Neshama, yeah.
Right. Is that it?
Yes, and I mean, that's certainly part of it, but then again, Shabbos too, we could really have from the previous Shabbos and for the future Shabbos. We know, you know, he was David Shustel, the Rashiva of Leiku, he was here, I think it was last year. He spoke to the boys by the Mosman program. He came in and he spoke to them. And one of the things he said over from his grandfather, the Matasdar for Rav, he said, that's what it says, I think he said from the Chassam Sofer also, that the Shabbos, a year could live from Shabbos to Shabbos. Because Shabbos has an effect on the following 3 days after Shabbos. And then the next 3 days are already, the influence of the next Shabbos is already in preparation for the next Shabbos. One of the reasons why we say on Wednesday, we say the words L'chun Aranano, right? Why do we do that? The influence of Shabbos is already there. So a person can theoretically live a whole week with the influence of Shabbos. Wow. Right? Pretty beautiful idea. So, the idea of the Besamim is to the contrary, that we don't want the Neshama to feel bad because of Shabbos leaving, so there's a certain intensity there. And that's true with Yom Tov too, to some degree we're losing something. But the idea that I'm trying to bring out is that theoretically we could maintain a certain high level, and we don't have to feel as bad that the Yom Tov is over, because the Yom Tov actually lives with us. That's Mar Cheshvan, Marach HaShais. So we can still continue to vibrate, to pulsate with the beauty and the kedusha of Yom Tov. Okay, we're going to do this mitzvah of Kol Aral Yehal Bayit, that a non-circumcised person should not eat from the Karban Pesach. We actually discussed this to some degree in the past, so we'll just go through this now, and hopefully tomorrow we'll be able to begin the next mitzvah, which is really redeeming the firstborn. Sort of starts a new series of mitzvahs, even though it's very heavily connected to Pesach, but these are directly related to the Karban Pesach, the last bunch of mitzvahs that we learned. So as the pasuk says, we saw this in the past, that kol aral yechal bo, that an uncircumcised male should not eat from it, and Rashi says, mahavi, this includes a shemesu echav machmas mila. And we know that if a person doesn't fulfill a mitzvah, he's a mummer, then he's already excluded from other mitzvahs, right? called Ben Neichor Lo Yechol Boi. We said that a person who's Nisnakru Ma'isov La'ovim Shabbos Rashamayim, he's distanced himself from the Rabbi Shalom. So what is this talking about? Why do we need a special mitzvah to tell us that an uncircumcised male does not eat from the Karpet? So, La'ovim Yes Shemesu Echov Machmas Mila. A person whose brothers were died because of Mila, so halachically, he's not permitted to have a Mila. So one would think that he's not intentionally, he's not deliberately, he's not maliciously not keeping this mitzvah. So he shouldn't be exempt from the Karban Pesach, shouldn't be exempt from partaking in the Karban Pesach. Says Rashi in the name of the Chazal. No, Lahavi. This includes Shemes as Shemesu Echam Machmas Mila. Even though he's not he's ainim mishumed, he's not deliberately going against the. He's not rebellious. La'arlois ainim nilmad mi ben neichar le'echol bayin. Therefore, he can't be learned out from the pasuk of Kol ben neichar, which is a person who's a mishumed, who's rebellious and not keeping mitzvahs. Somebody like that who's not a Meshumad, he's doing it, in fact, halachically mandated not to take a bris mila. The fact that he doesn't have a bris, he cannot partake in the Karban Pesach. Yes?
Why is that? It's understandable. One is Meshumad, would not be allowed to, because he voluntarily is not, you know, is a mumar. But this person, through no fault of his own, he's butter.
So if I could rephrase your question.
He's butter from mila.
So if I could rephrase your question. You're saying no fair. That what you're asking?
Yeah.
No fair. Lama Nigara, like the
unless it's there is a kosu, but
right? Okay. So we're gonna deal with exactly that issue right now. How about that? Okay. So the Gemara Pesach says like this. The Isra Flamikhtav Aral, Vitzra Flamikhtav Nechar. The Torah has to give two different Psukim, one for Aral, one for Nechar, like Rashi said. Because Rahmana Aral, the Torah just wrote somebody who's uncircumcised. Shum Damayas. It's mius. How would you translate mius? Repulsive.
Disgusting.
Abo ben Nechor leimois. He's not the repulsive. The fact that he doesn't have a mila. So emaloi. Tzricha. So I need ben Nechor. The Yashmina ben Nechor. If we say just ben Nechor, we shouldn't aim libo le Shemayim. Because he's deliberately, his heart is not with Shemayim. Abo arol the libo le Shemayim. Here, exactly what you're asking, right? Amalai, I would think exactly like Neil said. It's not his fault, and for Karen, he could be a big tzaddik. So on. So we need this person to tell me that he is excluded from this mitzvah. Says the chinuch. Ubavur shekarbon zeh. By the way, this chinuch is not on this mitzvah, it's previous. But the chinuch says like this, mitzvah yodalah, but he just mentions our mitzvah. Ubavur shekarbon zeh lezecher chayrusein. And since this carbon is for the purpose of reminding us of our freedom, and our entrance into a covenant with the Rebbeinu Shleilam, ra'ui shlo yegu bai, yenu bai, rak oisam sheshlima b'amuna. These are famous words that we said many times. It is appropriate only those that are complete in their amunah of the Rebbeinu Shleilam, behem Yisraelim gemurim, and they are complete Jews to the full extent. It's appropriate, since this whole thing is a celebration of our entrance into a covenant with the Rebbeinu Shleilam, so only people who have fulfilled completely, have complete emunah in the Rebbeinu Shleilam, and have fulfilled complete, meaning as soon as a person is not fulfilling a mitzvah, in any which way, we're not saying he's not a Jew, that's not what he means to say he's not Jewish, it means to say he's not participating as a Jew to the fullest extent. So it's not appropriate for such a person to partake in such a mitzvah. What are you celebrating, right? Just the other day, there was a person who passed me by in the street as I was walking with my children. It was a woman, and she said, "Good Shabbos." So my son says to me, "You know, that lady was not dressed very appropriately." Not just that she was undressed appropriately. Undressed inappropriately. Anyway, wasn't just that she didn't have clothing that was covered Shabbos. She was unfortunately not clothed appropriately. So he said to me, it's a little strange for someone like that to say good Shabbos. So I said, really, most people don't view that as a contradiction. But if you think about it, if you believe in the Kedusha of Shabbos, that you say good Shabbos, then you should also believe in the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael, because they go together, right? Kadesh, Yisrael, Hazmanim, right? There's a Kedusha to time, there's a Kedusha to Klal Yisrael. They're both important, they both go hand in hand. So if you believe in the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael, you should dress appropriately, right? So here too, if you believe in all the mitzvahs, then you can partake in this covenant, in this bris, in this celebration of that bris. But if you're not participating entirely, then you do not participate. And then he adds, the inyan harchakas ha'orel me'achilasai, and the idea of distancing an orel, someone who's uncircumcised, from this mitzvah, gam kei mizeh hasherish, is also from this root. Now, he hasn't yet explained entirely a full answer to Neil's question, but we're starting to get a little picture here, and that is that it's unfortunate, but the fact is that somebody who's restricted from having a bris milah is not entirely in the covenant of the Rebbeinu Shlom. He's Jewish, and he could be even a big tzaddik, and he could be like you have a mamzer talmud chacham, right? You have every milah, every attribute in the world, he's still a mamzer. Right, it's something wrong there. It may not be his fault at all. The fact is, this person cannot enter fully into the covenant with the Rebbeinu Shalom. It's already something that detracts from his ability to partake in this celebration of the broader covenant with the Rebbeinu Shalom. Okay. So now the Rambam in the Mor Nebuchim, the guys who are perplexed, he discusses this idea. And he says, this mitzvah of Karban Pesach, that it is restricted, Arelim, uncircumcised, cannot partake. Karbi Aru, Chazal already explained, She'amru, Heim bitlu mitzvahs mila. Again, this would be appropriate more for a person who deliberately refrained from doing mila, but they annulled the covenant of the mila, Kishaharach Amdam Mitzrayim, which means the Klal Yisrael themselves refrain from doing mitzvahs mila in Mitzrayim. V'kasher tziva aysonu b'mitzvahs ha-pesach. And at the time that the Rebbeinu Shlom then in Mitzrayim initially commanded us to do the mitzvahs ha-pesach, v'hisnebay, and he stipulated, shal yishachay ala achar mitzvahs atzmai ubanu b'mnei besa. That only after he and all his children, the people of his home, only after they did the Mila, then they could do Karban Pesach. So at that time, Malu Kulam, they all did the Mila. The Dam Mila Misar B'Dam Pesach, as the Chazal tell us, that the Dam Mila mixed together with the Dam Pesach, L'Rav Anamaylam, to the many people that were doing Mila. We mentioned this by the Bris Mila, we mentioned it in the Haggadah, right? That pasuk of Erech Mismaisesas B'damayach means the mixture of the blood, Dam Pesach and Dam Mila, together there was an abundance of blood in Mitzrayim, and the two mitzvahs together. What he's trying to say is that, number one, that's what happened then, when we did the Pesach the first time, Hashem stipulated it has to be only for Mila. So it seems like the Rambam is saying this was sort of an encouragement to get us to partake in the mitzvah of Mila, but maybe even a little deeper is that he's saying that the two are interconnected, and if you don't have one, you can't have the other. These two brises are very much interconnected. So before we went into a bris with the Rebbeinu Shalom, we had to have the bris mila beforehand, so they're both interconnected.
So when we bring the bris, the two remain interconnected after.
Right. So right.
I want to suggest that as a lahadmas lehidomas.
Yes. Nifl. Okay. Always rely on you for the dictum. I told you I'm challenged. I have chassidish Rebbeinu. So the Rambam in Hilchos Karban Pesach, he says like this. The next quote. It's not just his own mila that prevents him from doing the Karban Pesach. Kach milas bana vaktana milas kol avoda v'gedela megetana makvoseis. Makvoseis. Not just his own mila, but also his children and the people of his own and the servants. Shenamar himal loy kol zachar v'oz yikram laseis. As we mentioned earlier. So again, it's not just that he himself has to do a mila, but that his entire family has to have mila. Those that are that need it. If he does it, the Pesach is possible. V'chein tefilas amhoisa. This is a finish from the Rambam. The other Rishonim disagree with him, but he says even the tefila of his maid servants. L'shem avdus makvas. Okay.
Is Rambam saying that, that even if he has one son who has this condition where his two brothers died from mila and is there for Pater from mila? That the father could not bring the
that's a, that's a good question. I didn't think about that. I don't think so. I don't think so. What Neil is asking is what happens if the father has a child, the Chas HaShalom, he has two sons, they die from Mila, and now he has a third son and he just doesn't give that Mila. Is that the fact that he's excluded from Oro, that the son himself can't partake in the Mila, that we know. The question is the father also is his Oz Yikram La Saisa, Ima like calls out from Oz Yikram La Saisa, does that apply even to that? That's probably fairly simple to look up, but I didn't pay attention to that. That's a good question. Okay, now, the last quote that we have, we're running out of time, but this chinuch, we don't have time to read through it slowly, but this chinuch we had quoted earlier, and that was the famous words, Adam Nifal Kefi Pulaisa, which is that a person's external actions have a very great and profound effect on his internal being and on his heart. And he says, even if Tzadik Gomer his entire life, if he sits around and starts to do nothing, he'll be affected by it and he'll end up becoming a Rasha. But the Sefer Neim HaMitzvos quotes this chinuch and he says, as Devarav HaYikarim, I'm in the last paragraph there, as Devarav HaYikarim, if you have a chance to go through the chinuch again, it will be worthwhile. But in quoting the chinuch, he says, these beautiful words of the chinuch, HaNe'emorim Ba'askel V'das, Nuchal Lilmoy Mi'amitzvah HaZois, we can actually learn this great principle of Adam Nifal Kefi Kulaisav, from the fact that our of this mitzvah that the Torah was asra Torah gdeish la'aral shemesu echa machmas mila lechal ha-pesach apol pishalimu la'shemayim. This great principle, if a person is affected by his external actions, we can learn it out from this halacha that the Torah excludes. It would seem it's unfair, like Neil was saying. The Torah excludes somebody who's halachically forbidden from doing mila. Even he, if he doesn't partake in the Mila, he can't do the Karm Pesach. Fair or unfair, but at least you see from there that the actions of a person, by doing the Mila, it may be that that person himself turns to Hashem and says, unfair, I can't partake in the Mila and get the benefits of the Mila. But the fact is, the fact that he doesn't have the Mila means that he's not affected in the positive way that the Mila would affect
it. I take issue with Mila because it's the truth in any mitzvah. I mean, I can't say I don't have arms. I can't take the. I can't get benefits. So it's like I can't go to work, so I don't get paid. I mean, it's the same type of thing.
Okay, so okay. On the other hand, though, arguing with that, one can say, I'll take sides with Neil for a moment.
Okay.
Just for a moment. We had quoted earlier the Chofetz Chaim and others that say that there's a certain mitzvah that we can't fulfill, whether because we're in Golus or because we're not a Kohen. And how about that? No, fair. You get to do certain mitzvahs that we can't do, right?
It benefits
you. Right. And especially in light of the Zohar that we mentioned, that a person's neshama is 613 components. When they come up to Shemayim, each component of the neshama corresponds to a mitzvah. So how about there was one mitzvah that he didn't fulfill? Let's say a person, he was never careful with shatnez. So that one component in his neshama that corresponds to shatnez is going to be the...
Right, deficient.
Yeah. Right, deficient, right? Mm-hmm. So the Chofetz Chaim describes it. You know, he goes into great length to describe how he's going to be embarrassed and this, and he's not going to be functioning and so on. But how about a person who can't fulfill mitzvah because he's not a kohen? No fair, right? So what does that mean? That component in his neshama is going to be deficient? So the Chofetz Chaim says that. But if you study the laws, you learn the halachas and so on, then that's equivalent to fulfilling it, and you strengthen that way. So maybe we could argue like Neil. That even though he doesn't have the milah, but he could learn the halachas. If a person learns all the halachas in the world and he refrains from doing the mitzvah, he's obligated and refrains. He has the ability to do mitzvah, and he doesn't do the mitzvah. So you could say, very nice, you learned the halachas, but you don't do the mitzvah, right? But someone who can't do the mitzvah and he learns all the halachas and he tries to help other people fulfill the mitzvah, etc., he goes to the nth degree possible for him, and he still can't. He should lose out. So here he's saying an important principle, which is the actions of a person have an effect on his internal neshama. And whatever the reason that Hashem chose that this person should be barred from doing the mitzvah of milah, that's Hashem's chesed. That's not our chesed. We're not here to ask questions, right? Fair, no fair. That's not our place here in this world, right? All we know is that Rebbe Shem has a chesed for everybody and everything, and whatever happens is for the best. How, what, where, in some world, somewhere, somehow, it makes sense. Doesn't mean we'll understand it. That's certainly not today. So we don't understand why this person is prevented from doing the mitzvah, okay? But the fact is he doesn't have the benefit of having done that person, chas v'shalom, he can't go to shul. He doesn't have that, the benefits of going to shul.
Right.
Don't tell me you'll get the merits as if, okay? But the effect of the Adam Nifal Kefif Ulaisa, that's really the answer to Neil's question. The practical effect of a person being influenced by his external actions, that fact is he doesn't have. Ki Adar Abba Asr Hulamol, he says, this person is forbidden for him to do the Mila. If Nasakana, Mikol Makam Asr Taira Lechol HaPesach. Why? Since he factually, practically, Lemaisa does not have the mitzvah of milah to influence him, so he can't do the Pesach. Because only a person who has the influence of the garben of the milah is able to do the garben Pesach. We should learn from this to all mitzvahs. The main is the action.
Exactly.
Even though really, truth be told, he's admitting that Neil is right. We don't truly, truly understand it. Here's a person, he's got everything, it's not fair. So we don't understand it necessarily, but we do have to believe that that's always the case, and this is what we can learn from this mitzvah. You need to have the action to have an effect on you. If you go up until the point, that's what Hashem asks of you, fine, that you've fulfilled your obligation. But does that mean necessarily that you'll have the full effect of the mitzvah? That he won't have, and therefore he can't partake in the Pesach.
Yeah.
Okay, Yashikoyah.